Hey guys, it's Lebo here to tell you about your new favorite go-to underwear, undershirt, and sock brand, Mr. Davis. It's a local KC company with the most comfortable undergarments you'll ever wear. I'll never wear another brand again. Go to MrDavis.com/810 for your new favorite undergarments.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much to Jamie Bluma for joining us in studio. Now we have former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. What's up, Mark Boerichter? How are you?
Doing all right. How are you guys
this morning? You know what? Good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. I'm done with the storms. I just saw a tweet that there's more storms coming tonight, and we don't need that. And, man,
it was a long weekend at my house with my dogs.
All the people around us that we've seen, Oklahoma and Nebraska and everywhere else that have suffered through these terrible storms and tornadoes. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Just terrible, terrible destruction in so many places that are close to Kansas City and you know, so many places in the Midwest. Just awful to see that.
It is. I was
enough storms
in Nebraska last week. Got back Thursday right before the draft show. Friday got a FaceTime from my daughter at like 2:57 in the afternoon on a Friday. I'm like, why is my daughter FaceTiming me from Lincoln, Nebraska? And they were in the TV room at the University Suites at University of Nebraska, Lincoln, filming the tornado just northeast of town.
Wow.
But I know a lot of people obviously up there and that stuff in the Elkhorn area, the Bennington area too. They're all safe. A few, for the most part, several of them came out unscathed out of that, but a lot of people did not. So,
and our heart goes out to them. It's just awful.
Fortunately, I will say this too: not very many loss of life as a part of all that, because I think there was only a couple deaths nationwide on it, which is kind of miraculous actually when you look at it. So,
always important when you know to heed the warnings, and when they tell you to take cover, take shelter, get in the base if you have one, you got to do it. Don't hesitate. And so, hopefully, they're talking about some more serious storms tonight and this week. Hopefully, they won't be as bad. We'll cross our fingers for that, because I think we've had enough. We need a little break from all that right now, or a long break. Mark Boerichter, what would you like to start talking about? Get back into some football? We'll talk some wide receivers.
What about some LeBron Jordan?
Oh, yeah, LeBron Jordan. Twitter feeds all right, let's blown go. Up by all the Jordan.
Steve says Jordan and LeBron could be dead heat for two. Number one's always going to be Wilt, smiley face.
I like that.
Pugilistic sports ball liker, Casey Smooth Ref, says LeBron cheerleaders will say he's better by spouting career stats. Jordan fans talk rings. Both elevated the players around them. Jordan and Kobe were simply built different mentally. LeBron is the most athletically gifted ever, but he's soft.
Yeah, he's soft. Soft.
That's Casey Smooth Ref.
I got to be honest, I wasn't paying attention to this conversation because I was out in the hallway.
Neither was I.
So what side were you on, Nate? The LeBron side?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
I honestly don't know who's better. I don't know who's better. I push back at the
LeBron
people
cheerleader.
That I am a LeBron cheerleader. I think he's phenomenal. I think it's garbage that people crap on him, like when Jake's like, "Oh, Jordan would never." This, you know, to compare them is garbage. I think that's garbage.
But is it really crapping on him when he says he's a top five all-time player?
Right. I said he's
is
one
that
of the
not enough
ever
for you?
Because
it sounds like you're mad unless he says he's number one. He said he's top five all-time. That's pretty good. I mean,
I think to say that comparing him to Jordan's a joke, which he said something like that, right? Like, what was it that you tweeted?
What did you say?
Well, let me go back and get the verbatim. But I said to put him his name on the same line of Jordan is a joke.
Yeah. I push back strongly against that. I think there is every bit the case to be made that he's better than Jordan. I don't know who's better, and it's a fun debate. It should be a fun debate, but it always turns into like.
But why does it make you mad? Why does that make, of all things, why does that make you mad?
I don't know. It's just like,
why are you so invested in LeBron? I don't understand.
Why are any of us invested in any of this? Who gives a crap about Jordan?
I don't know. I'm invested in like Mahomes and Kelce because they're in Kansas City.
Yeah, but like, why is everybody so invested in saying that LeBron's not as good as Jordan? Why does that get people so pissed? Why does my Twitter timeline fill up as soon as I defend?
Oh, I don't know.
defend LeBron like this. I mean, it's like we've been talking about stuff for 3 hours. Nobody tweets at me. And then all of a sudden I have the audacity to stand up for LeBron James and people, I mean, like the knives come out.
Because a lot of people don't like LeBron. I think you're seeing
right.
That.
I can't
speak for them, but there's a lot. You know.
I mean, like this, the notion that LeBron James is soft is hilarious.
There's something about
him flopping around is pretty.
Hold on, this is what I was gonna say. I think the portion of this to me, Nate, is because in your career now, right, with broadcasting soccer games and everything else, with the amount of flopping and things that goes
does Patrick Mahomes ever flop?
Not to the extent that LeBron James does.
He flops. Is he soft?
Oh, boy.
Wow. He plays on broken ankles and with dislocated knees. Is he soft or is he going to do whatever it takes to win the game?
I didn't say he was soft. I just
you don't think he flops? His own teammates tease him for flopping. Gary Dieter sits here and teases him for flopping.
I'm going to stay out of this one. I'm just going to remove myself from the Mahomes.
I'm just saying, when you watch LeBron, everything... Look, I like LeBron a lot.
Are you scared to say the truth, Jay?
Stephen St. John is on vacation today.
I don't think you can really flop in football.
Get out of here.
You can embellish things. I'm just saying, when you see LeBron,
stuff, you don't want the heat?
It's all the extracurricular whining and like, you can barely touch him and he ends up at half court because he throws himself the other direction.
That's I mean, I posted a video where he barely gets pushed in the back. Someone's going for a rebound and he just, like, hurls himself like there was a sniper.
It was Michael Porter Jr. That was the best part of it.
Right. He's like, there's a sniper up in the corner and he just, he's dead. Thought he got hit by a car.
That's what I think. This is just my opinion on that. But I think that's why there's a lot of LeBron hate out there is because of that kind of stuff.
And look, I'm not. He might be the second or third best player ever to live.
He's tremendous.
He's
tremendous.
Great. He's great. He's the best player in his generation, without a doubt.
I'm not debating or disputing that either. I just
texted Gary Dieter. I
think it's
confirmation of this.
Yeah, I mean,
He said it to us.
Well, I don't remember that, so I want him to confirm it.
I don't think I was here for that. So
I just said, did you say Mahomes flops? That's what Nate is saying. I need him to confirm that. Because you called Mahomes a flopper. I'm divorcing myself from that. I am out of that.
I'm saying that athletes flop in today's sports. Athletes flop. Do we like it? People don't like it. Quarterbacks
flop a
lot.
There's a different level of flopping, though. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
All
embellishing
athletes do.
And absolutely just like trying to sell something like you were just decapitated is a little different.
I'm saying there's a difference between flopping and being soft.
I think just because somebody flops does not make them soft. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not saying that.
Marcus Smart is an incredible flopper, and he's not soft. He's tough. He's trying to gain an advantage, and maybe he's doing it through dishonest means or whatever. You know,
Gary Dieter's sick, but he also says, "F Nate." I'll see you Thursday.
Wow, there it is. There's the answer.
Go on with this.
Patrick
Mahomes is as tough.
I'm not saying
as any player has ever been, in my opinion. The guy goes out there and plays on ankles that other people wouldn't. He's shown time and time again that he's as tough as they come.
And I don't think he flops. I don't think he flops.
I think you're scared to say that.
I know I'm not scared of anything. If I really thought he flopped, and maybe our definition is different for flopping. Maybe that's where the disconnect here is.
Okay.
I'm genuinely
he sells contact. Yes. He throws his arms up and makes the most of something to try to get a penalty. Yes.
I don't think that's flopping.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I view flopping as different than that. Okay. Than when it's semantics. I mean, I don't know.
It's about the embellishment.
Right.
Level
if it's
of
over,
embellishment.
If it's over embellished.
Once it gets to a certain point, then it's soft.
Well, I think if it's not really a foul and you act like you got fouled, then I think that's flopping. Now, if you get hit and it's somewhat of an illegal hit and you sell it a little bit, you still got hit illegally. You're just making sure they saw it.
Well, if a guy...
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me what this is.
Well, I can't see it.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, you're showing
it's
that.
Taylor Swift yelling.
Yeah.
He's showing a clip of Travis Kelce getting pushed down against the Patriots and falling down.
Are we talking about Travis Kelce here?
I just found that. But is Travis Kelce soft?
Hold on. I'm not debating whether they're soft or not. What I'm saying is what Travis Kelce did right there is work to draw the penalty, right? Okay?
That's not
flop. If that was I didn't say it wasn't, but if that was LeBron would have ended up in the first row of the stands based on that and rolled over three
times. Flops too much.
Yes.
He flops too
it's
dramatically.
It's the embellishment. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Did Jordan flop?
No, I don't think so. But
I mean, everyone's getting accused of flops.
Maybe I'm so far removed from
I think
him
that
play.
The game was definitely different.
It was
then.
Different, right?
It was a different game. I don't think football players flopped like they do now. I think football players flop in today's
part of it is a lot of the way the rules have changed.
Because right. I get irritated when people say it's not, and I don't feel like they've watched any of the series between Detroit and the Bulls.
Right.
Or any of that physicality. Now, I'm not saying that basketball was better then.
It's not close.
But there was almost an element of tackle football to it.
Yes.
Some of the things that Bill Laimbeer would do.
Yeah.
And how they handled. Don't you guys remember that Sports Illustrated cover when it had Joe Dumars, stiff arm, and Jordan? You know, the man that. What was it? The one guy that shut down Jordan? Because what they used to do to him, they beat the hell out of him.
Yeah,
I mean, it was different.
Completely different game, and I think that the world of sports was different. There wasn't flopping in basketball. There wasn't flopping in football. You know,
they've certainly changed the rules of football to try to protect the superstar quarterbacks. That's obvious,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was gonna say this. That's 100% it. Like, how many roughing the passer penalties have we seen where a guy barely gets hit on the face mask? Right, like. Defensive lineman comes in with his hand up and comes down and barely yeah. hits him. Like, doesn't even swat at him, right? It's like barely just touching. That's a penalty now. And it's what it does is it, again, I'm not having the conversation of whether anybody flops or not. For me on the LeBron thing, it's the embellishment of all of it, the over embellishment of
and,
it.
And I don't, maybe we're getting a wire question. I don't know that flopping equals being soft.
No,
that's the only point I was trying to make. For the record, I think Patrick Mahomes is one of the toughest MFers of a competitor there's ever been. I think Travis Kelce, we've talked about, he's played with back injuries. He's played with knee injuries. I don't think that's my point, is just like to say LeBron's soft because he over-embellishes fouls, I think that's a false premise.
I think
premise.
It's just the definition of somebody considers soft. Yeah, on that. Because I don't think that either. I'm not
he's
saying
he's trying
not
to gain
tough,
an advantage. Now, maybe he's doing it through ill means. Maybe he's doing it through dishonest means, whatever. But he's trying to gain an advantage. I think watch what the guy did for his entire career and still be out there competing at 40 years old. To claim that guy is soft, I think that's silly.
But I think it goes back to the people that are against him don't like him.
Right.
Don't like him for whatever reason. And I can't answer that because I'm indifferent. I don't love him and I don't hate him. I'm just, hey, he's the greatest player of his generation. I'd rather have Jordan, but I don't care enough about it to argue about it. I'd rather have Jordan. I don't know.
That's a very reasonable stance.
And LeBron's great, too.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable stance. Look, we're dealing with it now with people that don't love, that now people hate Patrick Mahomes.
Right, they're going to pick him apart.
Because he's the best.
Right, but that's what happens. Every guy that has, look how much everyone hated Tom Brady. We all hated Tom Brady. This town hated Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
And there were reasons to hate Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But guess what? He was the greatest of his time.
And if anybody got close to Tom Brady, what did he do? He looked at the refs and threw his arms up in the air and said, hey, that's
okay.
But Brady wasn't soft.
Right.
That's all I was trying to say.
Right.
Look, and I didn't call LeBron soft, but that came from a tweet.
Right.
Just to be clear.
Who do you think soft? Say someone. say someone soft.
I think Nate's soft. Yeah.
This guy dragged ass on a broken leg to an airport. I think I'll defend him. I don't think he's wrong.
I finished that Segway tour on a broken leg.
This guy earned big points with me.
I didn't take that long walk in the south.
That was a long walk.
It
was
southwest terminal through KCI.
I'm not sure it was toughness. I think it was shame and embarrassment. They pushed him through, but it still pushed him through. But it still pushed him through.
Yeah.
I don't care what motivates you, as long as you're motivated.
That's right. That's right.
There's no doubt that it was pure embarrassment that caused me to finish that.
Trust me. You didn't hear about this. I don't know if you heard about this. He heard about this. Did I say it on the air? I said it on the air, didn't I?
We kind of glossed over it with
not this. The 2 weeks ago at a track meet, I took a bad tumble down the stairs at, where was I? Excelsior Springs, and I was. Have you ever fallen, but you're falling somewhat slowly, and it's all happening, and you could see yourself. You know what's happening here.
Oh, yeah.
I was. It was the longest fall down these concrete stairs of the football stadium, and I'm thinking to myself, if I fully fall down these stairs, I will be taken out of here by EMTs. It's going to end poorly, and I fell into this fence and this concrete wall, and I just like stuck my arm into the fence and I jacked up my hand. I thought I broke my hand, and it was ugly and things were, you know, flying everywhere, but somehow I avoided tumbling down the stairs, right? But it was right next to like a full section of people, and Susan tried to grab at me, she couldn't, and everyone, oh my God, you know, and like this lard ass is, I mean, I'm moving through, you know, crashing into a wall, into a fence. It might have been better had I fallen down the stairs, but I hit this thing going, and I had momentum, so I was going down the stairs, and I hit it hard, and as soon as I hit, pain shot through my body. And I turned, I called myself. And there was an open, and I sat down real fast, right? And Susan runs over, and she goes, are you all right? I said, leave me alone. Yeah. Leave me alone. And I sat there for 45 minutes, embarrassed to get up.
Yes.
And not sure what I hurt.
To get up also, yes.
Because there has to be an evaluation of standing up to see if anything's broken, anything's real bad. And I sat there, and I sat there, and I watched Julia run. I sat there, and Susan goes, she's done now. I go, well, go ahead and go up there. I'm not moving yet. I'm going to let this people leave. And so finally, I'm like a newborn baby. I'm wiggling my toes. And, and I stood up. Oh, my back. Okay, wait, hold on. Wait, I'm good. I can walk. Okay, made it back up the stairs, but partially because I didn't know what I'd heard, and the other part is I wanted people to leave. I didn't want to face them.
Several people still think you're sitting in the stands at Excelsior Springs doing this show live from there.
I'm still there waiting. It was very painful. Yes. So yes,
yeah,
great motivator is shame and embarrassment.
Dude, no doubt that was what caused me to push through that Segway tour. It was just pure embarrassment. Works,
like in one bar or something. Well, you should have seen this guy. Wouldn't fell down the stairs. And I was just sitting right. Yeah, I'm here. They might want to check. You might want to check the foundation of the stadium seats at Excelsior Springs because it was earth rattling.
Oh, man.
I can promise you that. And I'm still cut. I got home bruised and cut and everything else. You know, and the girls.
Not as bruised as your ego is.
No,
though, right?
It was as bruised.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing about limping around in this boot all over the place is, what happened to you? And then, like,
right.
I fell off a Segway.
Oh, you weren't here, and the next day I barely was able to make it in here, and it was a lot of fun for everyone. Chiefs John has tweeted in, my Chiefs ain't soft like them donkeys and Chargers. Hashtag talk football.
I agree with that.
So we'll do it. Xavier Worthy. Mark Boerich.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, tell us what you think of the newest Chiefs wide receiver and weapon for Patrick Mahomes.
I think
you think he's soft.
Here we go.
You think he's a flopper?
Yeah,
at 165 pounds.
Well, he's He's now 6'1", 172 on the Chiefs
he
roster.
Shut my mic up.
Yeah. Yeah, he put on some weight.
Let me tell you something.
He grew a couple inches, by the way.
He had a couple of those, a couple of barbecue lunches.
The Chiefs strength and conditioning staff, unparalleled, already added a couple of inches and 10 pounds of Xavier yeah. Worthy in less than a week. Top that.
It's that top Kansas City barbecue.
Right. Top that, Ravens.
I think...
Oh, this show sucks.
I think... Here's what I think.
By the way, all it takes is him to just get me and Jake to fight a little bit. That's all it takes. The show's kind of just kind of going along.
Look at that smile on his face.
Look at that.
He's so,
so
satisfied.
Happy right now.
Oh, I got him going.
He's so satisfied.
So happy.
He's like,
right
my
now.
Day is made.
He's like, I really missed this for the past 2 years.
So happy.
So where did they come out of nowhere, too? Right. It's like, hey.
Like the dumbest crap that none of us really, like, I don't think that I've watched more. Like, I've maybe watched one full Nuggets Lakers game. In this series. I'm getting all
this is not a good series.
No, it's over, by the way.
Right. It ended.
How dare you, Jake?
Right.
Anyway.
So what do you think of this kid? Come on.
I think there's high potential with this pick. You know, one of the things that I don't want to say I'm frustrated by it by any means, but they just can't help themselves on a specific type of guy. And to me, when I look at this, I think he's a really good player. I think he's got high potential, all those types of things. But this pick, more than any other receiver pick they've had, is going to be gauged by whatever else happens with all the other guys, okay, around him. Because I think they fell in love with the 4-2-1 speed on things. His size concerns me, and which every single prospect, first of all, to clarify this, has some sort of downside, right, flag out there, whatever that might be on things. And for him, it's right now it's his size. But if you look at their receiving core right now, Rashee Rice at 6'1", legit 6'1", by the way, they're probably going to be missing him for 4 games at a minimum, right, depending on what happens with all that.
I hope it's only 4.
I know, so do I. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it'll be around 4. That's what I think. But where is their size going to come from? And I know they need somebody to take the top off the coverage, okay, to fill, quote, the MVS role. And MVS was a different size of player, straight-line guy, things like that. But you go out and get Hollywood, and I know you can't make all these decisions based on what happens completely in free agency and knowing that you can do this. But you go out and get Hollywood Brown. He's the same guy. He's the same guy. Same size. You're hedging that a little bit with Xavier Worthy, because you're getting a guy on a rookie contract, right? Hollywood Brown's only on a 1-year deal. If one of those two guys works out for you, great. But my concern, again, is his size. They're all the same guy. Everybody's about 5'11", 5'10". Xavier Worthy's a little slighter in stature in terms of, you know, weight, things like that. But they're all the same guy. They don't have anybody else with any kind of size. And I know you need some guys to take the top off the coverage. There's a tremendous value in that to open up everything else underneath. But with the other guys they have right now there, they don't have anybody else that can get open in a phone booth right now. And I'm not saying that he can't.
2 minutes.
I'm not saying that Hollywood Brown can't be that guy either. But when they traded up, I think they... And Brett Veach has said this. They were looking to try to get up to the 21 area. I think Thomas was really where they wanted to get to, who Jacksonville ended up taking. But I don't necessarily know if they needed to trade up completely to get Xavier Worthy, because I feel like with the depth, where I'm going with this, with the depth of this wide receiver class and draft, that they could have got a really good player by staying put where they're at.
So it was going to be
interesting. But I'm not upset about the pick by any means. I think he's a real, like, so I want to be clear on that either.
And I'm not upset either. But you talk about, and it's only natural because there were so many wide receivers grouped in that area that there's going to be comparisons. But you know what the biggest comparison is going to be, don't you? McConkey.
Yeah.
Because of where he went. Because he went to the Chargers.
Yep.
Right? And there were so many people that had him linked to the Chiefs, rightly or wrongly. He was mock drafted to the Chiefs a lot. And you had, you know, people like me, you know, openly longing for him on the air to get drafted by the Chiefs. And it's not like I'm not upset at all.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Petro talk about this, and I totally agree with him. The writing was on the wall for them to take Xavier Worthy. If you know, Andy Reid is in love with speed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work your way backwards, it's like, well, of course it was Xavier Worthy.
Right.
But that's the challenge, or that's the trick about the NFL draft. There's so many mock drafts, and there's so much time for us to twiddle our thumbs. And, you know what? You know, let's not look at the obvious pick. But then they're going to do this, and then they do that. Blah, blah, you know, and you do all these mental gymnastics, and sometimes you just look past the obvious. You know, what have they always done? Like I heard him talking about this yesterday. One of the first guys he signed, Donnie Avery. Why? Was he a super productive wide receiver? No. But he was a fast guy to take the top off the defense, right? There were always elements that they needed. They drafting Tyreek Hill. What was so important for them to go out and get Sammy Watkins because mm-hmm. of that speed, right? The drafting Mecole Hardman. Always wanting to collect speed and guys that could take the top off the defense. MVS. That's what he was brought here to do. So, of course, it was Xavier Worthy. The minute that kid ran a 4-2-1, we should all just mocked him to the Chiefs.
And
we could all talk about, no. I want a polished route runner. I want a guy that moves the chains. Doesn't matter what I want. It matters what they value. Yeah. And in this offense, he wants a burner. He wants a guy to take the top off the defense. Ta-da, Xavier Worthy. It wasn't that difficult if we now look back, and I feel stupid for not...
Yeah.
Talking about him more.
I'm there with you there on that piece. I also think this, too, and this is going to be unfair to this kid. I say unfair, but the expectations that Chiefs fans are going to have on him coming in here year one, I don't know if he'll ever live up to those. Okay? And especially this first year. He might blow it out of the water, which would be outstanding. But you have to remember, the biggest bust position in the NFL draft is wide receiver. It's the biggest bust position that there is, based on the amount of them. Okay? Quarterbacks, you could say that too, but there's only a few quarterbacks, right? Like the amount of wide receivers that are taken. What Rashee Rice did this past year in this offense was better than any other rookie wide receivers done in an Andy Reid offense.
He was tremendous.
So that's where I'm going with this. Like Xavier Worthy might be the guy here long term, and I think that's great. Again, I think he's got tremendous potential with that. But it's how are they going to manage the expectations with that, too, with Chiefs fans? Because if we get 3-4 games in, or if they do what they did with Rashee Rice this year and bring him along slowly, are people going to be like, we just drafted this guy in the first round? No, I think you have to be patient with it, right? And again, this was a deeper class, so there's always comparisons anyway. But we're not going to be able to judge it for another 2 to 3 years, right, on terms of that.
But see, the way I look at it, the of all those speed guys, the only guy that was the guy was Tyreek Hill. But none of those guys were number ones. They brought him in just as an element of the offense.
Right.
And when I look at it, I look at the future, if everyone stays on the field and stays out of cars, Rashee Rice is the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Xavier Worthy is the complimentary piece. And that doesn't mean he can't put up good numbers, but Rashee Rice is like a number one to me, and Xavier Worthy is just an element of the offense that they feel is necessary. He just does it better than everyone else. That's run, and he's fast. Yeah. He can still put up numbers.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the number one is Travis Kelce.
Yes. Yes.
And then Rashee Rice, as far as volume, he's going to be the next guy. And then Xavier Worthy is going to give them that opportunity to have a guy that big plays and take the top off the defense and open things up for everyone else. So I don't feel like they got him to be the number one, but they got him to be a necessary, according to Andy Reid, and he's the man that runs the offense, and Matt Nagy, a necessary element of the offense that they feel like they have to have.
Yeah.
And who's gonna argue with them, right? They've always gone after speed.
Yeah.
And that's what they got. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. And I think it might turn out where, and just because, and you have to also look who's around them, McConkey puts up better numbers with the Chargers because, like, who's he sharing targets with?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But Worthy and his element of speed helps the Chiefs win championships. And it's not about comparing statistics, right? He's what they deem a necessary cog in this machine that just wins championships. But it is, I mean, if you're and it's, and I read something yesterday, really interesting, where this guy came up with this mammoth preview guide of just breaking down wide receivers, and talked about Xavier Worthy and had him as the number six wide receiver, and said almost more than any other receiver, he's it all depends on his destination and where he goes.
Yes.
Right?
That's with a lot of guys, really, to be honest.
And at the end, he said, but God help us if he goes to Miami or Kansas City. Yeah. May God have mercy on our souls. Right?
Yeah.
And like for McConkey, where could you go that's better than being coached by Harbaugh and having Herbert throwing you the ball and having no one else right now to contend? Like who's the number one there? Like, we talked about that. Who's
either Palmer or Quentin Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? You can go in there, and it wouldn't be a shock if you led the team in catches.
Right.
Right? So, for just putting up numbers. Before we get into more, tell me about this, what you got coming up here with the 6th Annual Memorial Golf Classic benefiting Team Smile at the National Golf Club coming up on Monday, May 20th.
Yeah, I've been on this committee with Team Smile for quite a few years now. You've been out there a couple times.
Sure, I have.
Think we'll work on possibly getting you out here again this year. Team Smile is a wonderful organization here in town. Provides dental care to children that don't necessarily have the opportunity to go to the dentist. And they partner with professional sports organizations across the country. Sporting KC has done this. Chiefs have done it. The Royals have done it. Where they bring in all this equipment, dental equipment, and these dentists and dental hygienists volunteer their time to give these kids dental care. And they bus them all in from the community. It's a tremendous experience. Some of these kids have never, ever seen a dentist in their life. It provides a safe place for them to go do it. And it provides an opportunity, number one, for them to get the care. But then, I mean, we've been a part of it as the Chiefs ambassadors and other stuff as well through that process. And really can change some of these kids' lives with their dental care because they've never seen it. And for some cases, it provides an ease for them of going to the dentist. A lot of us don't like to go to the dentist as adults on things.
Mm-hmm.
But it provides a nice environment for them to do that. This golf tournament on May 20th out at the National is a way to raise money for that and honor Ted Reese as a part of that, too. And so there's still some foursomes available if you're interested in it. I'll put this out on my socials. You can go to teamsmile.org to find information on it. But then also, we are raffling off this year a 2023 Harley-Davidson Street Glide ST motorcycle.
Damn.
For the raffle tickets are $100. There's only 500 of them that are going to be sold. You do not have to play golf or be present to donate the $100 for the raffle ticket on anything. We will draw a name that day. You do not have to be present to win that. So it could be somebody from the state of West Virginia, right? Or the, you know, your Segway tour driver in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
It probably owes you something, right, in regards to
Mike's
this.
Got this.
Yeah. So I will put out this information on the socials, too, but you can find it on teamsmile.org. Go out and buy a $100 raffle ticket. You can win a Harley. And if you're interested in playing golf with me, and for all those people that argue with me on Twitter all the time, you know, I'm going to ask you, donate to this. It's a great cause. It's an absolutely great cause. I've been involved with it for several years now, run by great people. And, you know, if anybody else wants to get in touch with me on it, shoot me a DM on Twitter or whatever as well. I'll be happy to get back to you on it. We'll get some things set up, too. From that side of things. But I'll put all the information as well on that. We got tremendous auction items, raffle items as a part of that, as a part of the tournament as well. It's a fun day out there.
It is awesome. Team Smile again, National Golf Club coming up Monday, May 20th. So Scott Barrett is the one that put this extensive analysis of the wide receiver class, and I found it to be very interesting. And one thing that he wrote, I wanted to get your reaction to. He said several people, including him, when asked about a comp for Xavier Worthy, they all came up with Zay Flowers. Mm-hmm. You good? You like that?
Yeah, I think I'm fine with that.
And if you remember,
he fit the profile of what they were looking for last year. So yes.
Yeah, that's one of the guys. That's apparently the guy that the Chiefs were trying to trade up and get, and that they loved last year. Last season, 33% of Flowers' catches came on screens, which was the second most in the NFL. And 39% of his yards came on deep passes, which is the sixth most. Now, Worthy at Texas, 46% of his career catches came on screens. And that's the most of any of the top 25 receivers in this class. And then 28% of his career targets came on deep passes. And that's most of anyone that was projected in the top 10 as far as Power 5 wide receivers in this class. And so it seems like that's a good bet that that's going to happen again.
Yeah.
What do you think of those numbers?
I think it's kind of difficult sometimes, I think, to look at the college stats on screens because there's more of a screen game in the spread concepts that are out there nowadays offensively. Or what can considered to be wide receiver screens on things. I think he fits well in this offense. I do.
Who's got a better arsenal of screen games? Like, who's better at designing the screen game than Andy Reid?
Very few people. Maybe, I don't know, you could say Kyle Shanahan a little bit because they do some different things. It's a different style of offense based on the run game. But Andy Reid's screen game's always been good. Rashee Rice caught a lot of screens last year, too, right? Like a lot of little ones. Travis Kelce did on some. It's a big portion. Those little wide receiver screens are essentially just an extension of your running game because you're getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage and letting them go make a play. That's an extension of your running game. And so, again, we'll judge this in several years. I don't hate the pick. I'm fine with it. I'm just concerned with his size on that side of it.
It's a good point because he also broke down, this has already been making its way around social media, against Scott Barrett, who did this, the fastest wide receivers in NFL Combine history. And the list is not chock full of productive wide receivers.
No, it's not.
This is it, and this doesn't include Worthy. Dante Stallworth, John Ross, Dry Archer, Henry Ruggs, Marquise Goodwin, Jacoby Ford, Tyquan Thornton, Jerome Mathis, J.J. Nelson, Darius Haywood-Bay, Mike Thomas, Yaman Figures, Paris Campbell, Velus Jones, Curtis Samuel, Clyde Gates, Andy Isabella. That's the top 15. But he said the bigger concern is BMI, body mass index. The top 45 lightest wide receivers by BMI since 2000. Number one was Todd Pinkston, Brandon Brazil, TJ Vasher, Brett Smith, JJ Nelson, Javon Durante, Snoop Minnis.
Snoop.
Number seven, Snoop Minnis, Troy Franklin, Xavier Weaver, Xavier Worthy, Tutu Atwell, Tyquan Thornton, but then here's a name, Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reasonable comp.
No, it is. It is. You just don't see a lot of guys that size.
That's my point.
Yep.
The guy, with that speed and that size, the list of successful, productive wide receivers is very small.
It comes down to how you utilize those guys.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. There it is. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. All right, we talked quite a bit about Xavier Worthy, Mark Boerich, your former Chiefs wide receiver. What did you think of the Chiefs draft as a whole?
As a whole, I'll say this. We went in talking about this. They needed a tackle, right? We thought they needed to get a tackle at some point, whether it be in the first round or second round, a wide receiver. They got both of those in the first two rounds. They go and get a tight end in the third round, and Wiley from TCU, who thinks a really good athlete. You got some defensive back help. You got some more offensive line help in there. You need some of those swing guys to replace a Nick Gallegretti, as an example. But one of the picks I think I might be the most excited about is the Hicks kid out of Washington State, the safety.
Go on.
He was rated higher than where, he actually got picked.
A lot higher.
A lot higher in a lot of ways. And you know what? the evaluations of players, BD's in the eye of the beholder on stuff, and you know, you never know why guys, quote, fall or do whatever in the draft or slide a little bit more, but I think it's a great value pick in round four. Again, like, not all these guys are going to make the team on things. It's just the way it goes. But when I evaluate this draft overall for the Chiefs, it's the rich get richer to me, right? We were just talking about this off air. Like, they won a Super Bowl last year with not having great wide receiver play as a whole, and it more so had to deal with guys not being able to catch the football. But you go out and get a young tackle in the second round, like, he's got to be your starter at left tackle. Has to be. And you let Wanya Morris and him battle it out right now. I don't think you need to go out and get anybody else veteran-wise at this particular moment in time there. You see what you have. You got some more defensive back depth help, some more O-line depth help, and you got another tight end who can be a weapon in the passing game as well. Because I know Travis Kelce just got an extension, which really was just adding some more guaranteed money right now.
Technically not an extension.
Yes, yes. More just about guaranteed money right now for him. Much deserved, obviously. But we still don't know how long he's going to play, right? You have to start putting a succession plan in place on that side of things. And, again, the rich get richer. They're in a beautiful spot that this is a deep roster. And I know they brought a lot of guys back free agency-wise this year on some things, but they have done a tremendous job of building this roster with young players who have been productive on rookie contracts. And they, you know, hope to continue to do that. So I think this was when you just look at it right now, again, we're not going to be able to judge this for, you know, 2-3 years from now. But right now, I think they hit the areas of need, areas that they wanted. And then you built some other depth in there as well. So I think it overall is a great draft for the Chiefs.
Is there anything that you'd like to, you said you're good with the left tackle situation right now, so you don't think they need to go out and bring back Donovan Smith. Is there anything that you think they need to do to finish the icing on the cake?
Yeah, I do. I think there's some veteran guys potentially out there. I think you could see another veteran receiver move come in. Again, these are not going to be big money moves, right, at this point. But you look at last year, they signed Donovan Smith after the draft, right? He's still out there. There's some, you know, I think you probably look at the running back position, possibly for another veteran guy in there.
D-tackle? Do they need D-lineman?
There's probably a D-tackle. There might be a pass rusher out there. There's probably a defensive back somewhere in the mix, right? Like, They right now, from now until training camp also, is when GMs really earn a lot of their money. Because you're getting value signings in free agency. All the big money's gone. A lot of these guys, they've been having conversations with a lot of these free agents already. Right? All these teams have. Going, hey, we're going to wait to see after the draft what happens. You start watching in the next couple weeks, there's going to be some veteran signings from guys that other teams that didn't address what they needed to in the draft. I mean, I could see a...
You get a running back?
Yeah, I think they could still use some help at running back. I really do. I know they're high on their young guys that we didn't really get to see play much this year on things, but Isaiah Pacheco runs a style of football that's not conducive to longevity, right? I love him, love the way he runs. I think we all do, but he's a bruiser. Right on things and doesn't shy away from contact. And they signed CEH back, of course. McKinnon's not going to be back retiring on things. So, again, they signed McKinnon in previous years, like in July on things. So, I still think there could be a third down type of back in there, some other depth. Obviously, you got some young guys that were on the practice squad a year ago, came up for a game or two. You could always use more pass rushers, every team can. So I certainly could see another move potentially happening here on that.
Of the wide receivers, you mentioned wide receiver. I know that's what Jake wants. Tyler Boyd, Hunter Renfrow, Mecole Hardman. Anything that tickles your fancy?
I think, you know.
DJ Chark.
DJ Chark's interesting. Tyler Boyd is kind of in that MBS type of role, or mold, I should say. Kind of take the top off the coverage guy. I think, for me personally, you know, Hunter Renfrow has been extremely productive in this league. Obviously got hurt a couple years ago and then had fell out of favor for whatever reason in Las Vegas this past year. He's the type of receiver now I would add to this offense because you've gone out and got Xavier Worthy. You've gone out and got Hollywood Brown. You've gone out and addressed your speed side of things.
I like it.
Because right now, Sky Moore, and I don't know if it's the way they've used him, but he can't get open in the intermediate routes, right? He's like Velcro on things. And it's not a knock against him. It's just it's not happening. And so
it's kind of
they need another guy that – in some of the underneath stuff that can be a complement and intermediate stuff with some option routes to Travis Kelce in that area. And Hunter Renfrow is a really good route runner.
Speaking of compliments, whose birthday is it?
Oh, yeah. Head coach of the Lee Summit High School volleyball teams, both girls and boys, Coach Bo Richter.
Happy birthday.
Wife's birthday today.
What'd you get her?
Not going to say. It's a surprise.
So happy birthday, Coach Bo Richter. Also,
tell
people again if they want to partake in the Team Smile Golf Tournament, where do they go?
Yeah, teamsmile.org. I'll put this out on social media here later today, too, as well. I know you guys will throw it out there for me, too.
Sure.
But come win yourself a Harley. If you want to play some golf with us on Monday, May 20th, we've still got some openings.
Jake said he won't, but Nate and I will certainly promote it for Mark Bo Richter.
No chance.
No chance.
Thank you, Mark. We'll be back after this on WHB.